it really about the next big house? Is it really about putting the kids in the right school? Is it really about the next vacation or the car or the friends that we have or don't have or the people that we're hanging out with at church or the nice job or the paycheck? Is it really about that? No, it's not. It's not. And I don't want to be lip service to you guys because I'm preaching it to myself, the same thing over and over again, you know? It's not. None of this will satisfy us. It won't satisfy us. Christ is enough. His blood is enough that has marked us all. Has marked us all. If you have a relationship with him, it has marked you and sealed you. And that is enough. He is enough. And don't you let anything or anyone else tell you that something else may fill you up, or the next coffee date, or the next this and that. So we have to, as women, stop ourselves and fill ourselves up with Jesus. We have to. We live in this culture that is so busy with everything else. However you go about it, you have to fill yourself up with Jesus. You have a phone, you can put, you know, the Bible app or something if you can't carry the Bible. Do your scripture verses, and, you know, I have to wonder, what is filling you up? What are you hungry for? What are you women in this room hungry, really hungry for? You know? Ladies, I know that, you know, you can say to me, okay, Heather, that's really nice what you're saying, you know, but you don't understand. You just don't understand. You don't understand my pain. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand this. You don't get it. You're not in my world, you know? But Jesus is. He's in your world. He understands. And you know what? I do have a commonality with all of you, with each and every one of you in this world, in this room. You have a spirit. And it can be woken up by Jesus, and his spirit can consume you, okay? You know, ladies, no matter what has happened to you, where you've been, what's been going on, and what has been done to you, it's that same Jesus that you saw in the film that ripped me out that could fill you, okay? And you think, what's good, this too shall pass. What's bad, that too shall pass, okay? So in this time, in this culture, we have to fill ourselves up with Jesus. And that's really the message that I wanted to, you know, share. And he's going to wipe away the mess of our past. He really is. And he's going to give us a brand new start right here, right now, okay? He's going to give us a brand new start. You better believe it, because if you don't believe, if you believe something else, okay, if you believe that something else is going to give you a brand new start, you're wrong. I'm going to tell you, you are wrong. He said, I came that you might have life, and you might have it abundantly. It's not halfway. And church isn't for some of the nice, good-looking people. Or, you know, it's not that, oh, that's for these people or that people. I used to feel like that, guys. I used to feel like I didn't belong in a white church. I didn't belong. No matter how I try to look like a white person, I'm not white. You know? And so I used to... When I was a little girl, this was the lie. I didn't think I existed because I had black hair and I was Asian. And I was like, I thought I was an ugly duckling. And, you know, I lived with that. I labeled myself with that. I'm no longer allowing those things that have been done to me or said about me that would keep me stuck in that one moment. Okay, even as a believer, I allowed people. I allowed other women, friends, godly people that are praying for me to hurt me and to allow myself to be stuck in that one moment that defines me. I'm talking to you, right? That says, I'm not moving. I'm not going to move because I'm just stuck. I'm stuck. But God says, come. Come over here. Come over here. Because over here is where I have to give you abundance. Everything is laid out for you. Okay? And so get unstuck. Let go of the hurt. Forgive your sisters and your brothers. Today might be the day that you pick up the phone or you get in the car and you say, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Whatever, you know? But you can't do that apart from Jesus. You can't. He is the vine. We are the branches. Apart from me, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. And so, yes, I mean, I'm not living this perfect life with four young, beautiful girls and a husband that came to know Jesus, you know, and everything. We fight. We still fight, right? I still scream at my girls and, you know, seek forgiveness 10 million times. Sin doesn't go away from us, right? He's only the only one that was perfect is in us, lives in us, right? But we have to allow him, his spirit, to project on to others. We are a fountain that his love should just flow out of us. But he taught me one fine lesson, okay? And he says, abide in me. Abide in my love. Okay, I can't love you if I'm not abiding in his love. I can't love my husband if I'm not abiding in his love. I really can't. I can't muster up enough energy to love my oldest child who's, you know, a tween getting to be 21 or something. But I can't do it without him. So you have to abide in him. You have to know that you bear his image. His spirit is in you. And when he says that you can have faith as small as a mustard seed, tiny, teeny, tiny, and you can move a mountain. Can you guys believe that? Do you guys believe that? Okay. My little four-year-old, I say, honey, you can move a mountain with your faith. And one day she looks out and I said, hon, what are you doing? I'm trying to move that mountain. I said, you keep focusing. But listen, he's so right on. And all we have is his word. In this world that we go through, the news, the internet, our kids that are filtering stuff in, his word is not going to come out to us void. I'm telling you, it is powerful. And sometimes when I have those bad moments or whatever, scripture comes up in my mind. And that's how I say boo to Satan and he goes away. And that's it. That's it. And that's what I teach my girls. You say just boo to Satan. So my challenge to you is seek that forgiveness, make amends, get it right. And when you are right with him, when you line up with him and his heavenly things and his heavenly, okay, we don't have to wait for a president. We don't have to wait for all these other leaders. We could start with ourselves. What does that mean to you personally? You smile at the cashier. You go and open up the door. You do the abnormal. You don't just let people pass by. You do the abnormal, the uncomfortable. And it's not just all talking and consuming about God. Let's be the Christians. We are supposed to be the good people, right? So why isn't the world flocking into the church these days? Why? Because the good people are the people that put the names to judgment, right? It's to judgment. And we are supposed to love. We are supposed to care for the sick. We are supposed to provide here and there and give and serve. And yet we say, oh, it's for those people. It's for them. Oh, it's for Toria. She could do that. And this person can do this. And, you know, Charlotte can read the Bible in and out. And it's for the Youssefs. No, it's for each and every one of you in this room. And he wants you to hear this. You are not limited because you don't have a limited God. You're not. You have direct access to him if you have a relationship with him. If you've been delivered from him, delivered from your past, delivered from your sin, if you have truly been delivered, now is the time to live in abundance and to live for him, not for yourselves anymore. It has to matter. If you don't do it for yourselves, do it for your children. Do it for your grandchildren who are going to grow up in this world without us here. Right? I mean, find security in the fact that Jesus has us through whatever storm, through whatever you're going through. I don't have fluff to give to you, but to challenge you to go out there and be the light. What I was just talking to my husband about is I find myself in this sin pattern with him. And what I find is that when I am not abiding in his love, when I am not abiding in God's love, is when I get into my sin patterns of control. Right? Of wanting to do things perfectly. And I'm not abiding in him when I'm doing that. And so just everything just backfires, you know? I've just recently dealt with that a few weeks ago in my own home. So I am not standing up here perfecting my Christian walk and thinking and telling you that everything's going to be great and all this and that. No. What I'm challenging you as sisters out there is to live this life really for Jesus. To die is Christ, to gain is him, okay? And just know that. So 3 John 1:11 says, dear friend, don't let this bad example influence you. This is a New Living Translation. Follow only what is good. Remember that those who do good prove that they are God's children. And those who do evil prove that they do not know God. So stop living in doubt, in shame, in negativity. Get rid of all that slander and complaining. And move towards his kingdom here on this earth. The ground you walk on, you can welcome his kingdom. Right? You don't have to make this really hard. It doesn't have to be hard. So I was talking to Stephen the other day, and I said, I just had this vision that the light switch went off in the world. It's dark, isn't it? It is dark. But we, his saints, his children, are the light. And every room we walk into, the light switch should come on, right? And it will silence the darkness. We don't have to live in fear. Why? Why would we live in fear when we know that the ending is going to be victorious? He really is going to win. I'll tell you the ending of the story. He wins. So Matthew 22:36-40 says, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Why would he put that in there? Because that's hard to do, isn't it? It is almost unattainable. But it is attainable if you abide in his love. Okay? God has asked each of us to love and to love well. That's how the world is going to come to know. That's how I came to know him. Okay? You don't have to open up the Bible. Let's say, let's study the Bible to anybody. You just love. You love in your home. You love outside your home. You love in your car. You love wherever you go. You love. Because who is love? It is him. Okay? Can you imagine what our world would look like if Christians really loved the way we're supposed to, and that we really actually believed what we preach? Can you imagine what the world would look like? If you really believed this stuff, what would our world look like, right? I just feel the need to pray for you guys. Let's close your eyes. Lord, you instruct us to be strong and courageous, to not be afraid or terrified because of them. For you go with us, that you will never leave us or forsake us. Your word says that those who hope in you will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. God, will you allow us to live as believing these truths and walk with our confident trust in you? Allow us to be a generation of women that puts an end to bitterness, hardness of hearts, and lavishing nothing but your love on others and walking truly in faith. Keep our eyes fixed on the unseen and not on what the seen is in the natural. Oh Lord, we love you. We love you, we love you, we love you, and we cannot say anything more but that you would take our lives, Father, and make it yours. Shine so brightly through us now. Let us stop just talking and let us be your light, Father. Please change us for your sake, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.